Okay. Well, I've reviewed this chart that is a fifth house Scorpio. Before we get started, I always like to begin with just mentioning that we create everything in our chart before we come into this lifetime. Everything we want to deal with, this is the vibration we carry in. It's sort of like a blueprint, a life plan for this lifetime. Okay. Also, know that the outside world is not doing anything to us. So it's more like a neutral state. And we're all here together as souls playing out the script, the life, the journey that we, excuse me, that we desire to play out, that will contribute to our own evolving consciousness, our own individual growth, while contributing to the collective consciousness of humanity. And in addition, collecting to the planetary consciousness, right? It's also evolving. A larger consciousness is evolving also. But my goal with astrology analysis is to present knowings to possibilities of things occurring in a certain way at any point in time, because we always have the choice of how we want to use our energies. We have our thoughts. We have our feelings, emotions, our actions, our imaginations, our imagination, excuse me. And we get to choose how to actually use these energies. Okay? We're here to actually manipulate energy and move energy around. That's what we do. And we always want to try to pick the best choice, right? But this is not always easy sometimes because we cannot always see the larger picture in our life or in all of life, right? We do not always know what is best for us. So we find out days, weeks, months, years later from now that maybe we didn't make the best choice prior. But we did learn something from that choice, which means our consciousness did evolve and we did grow. We don't waste any moments, okay? Our feelings may tell us otherwise, but they're just kind of guiding us and we're growing. All right. Now, let me share my screen, okay? Let's see. Where are we? I need to share screen. All right. And there we go. This work? Okay, good. All right, now we're ready, right? Okay. Here's the natal chart for the fifth house Scorpio that we'll talk about today. Now, the way I normally will do an astrology analysis, I look for clues for previous incarnations, and also how we can make the most within this lifetime by analyzing the planets and the house sizes. But simply know, before I get into detail, that our houses represent previous lives or even past tense in this life. The zodiac signs represent the present now moment, and the planets represent future. Okay. Houses, past. Zodiac signs, present. Planets, future. So Each planet represents a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of life. Okay, planets represent pre-birth intentions. Okay, pre-birth intents. The houses, they represent pre-birth needs. Okay. The reason why the planets represent pre-birth intents is to accomplish something in this life that we've already started before in another lifetime, and we want to work on trying to finish it off and by the end of this physical life. Okay. Can you see how I take more of a broader vantage point other than just this one single lifetime? And this is how we can expand our awareness. And this is how our consciousness can reach higher, more higher means inward, okay, in Kabbalah. So more inward and deeper unfoldments will reveal themselves when we think this way, when we train our mind to not think so linear and small. So the work with the planets. Also know that the working with all of this is experimental work, and we're just trying to get things successful in our life, right? It just represents information and evolution in the course of one lifetime. And from where we entered at birth to when we leave at death, the final death, the physical death. All right. So know that just know that each planet represents a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of your life. The areas that I'm speaking of are the houses. Okay? Those are areas of life that within our life that we'll work on. And normally I use what I call the life, I'll analyze the life phases. And what I mean by, I'm not going to do it in this reading, because I spend a lot of time actually going through the life phases. But just to give you an idea, this first house, born at age zero, okay, right here. And then this area of life with cancer type of expressions and energies will play out. From your age zero to about age probably six, seven. And then the lifeline will continue on through Leo types of expression up until about age 20. Just guessing because I haven't done the math. All right. And this goes all the way around to half your life, which is around age 52. Age 50 to 52, we integrate everything that we've learned in the first part of our life and begin the second half of our life. Okay. Interesting enough, this chart has a lot going on in the first half of your life. All 10 planets are on the bottom half. It's a very subjective life. Okay. The bottom half of the chart is the subjective plane. The top half is the objective plane. Right. Inner world, bottom half, outer world, top half. Normally people come into our life and reflect to us aspects about ourselves so that we can see it, contemplate on these reflections, and learn something about ourselves, or even unlearn something about ourselves, right? Because ultimately we want to have that. Well, I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm veering off a little bit. Let's get into the chart reading. All right. Let's go to the next slide. Here we have an image I made that I like to show before the chart reading, and it's nothing more than an overview of the ascendant, nadir, descendant, midheaven. Know that our ascendant is our first house, which is basically how we exhibit that particular zodiac sign's qualities in our day-to-day basis. And this will go throughout the course of our life. This chart, I think it was a Cancer ascendant. Yeah, Cancer ascendant. I'm also a Cancer ascendant. So I can relate to this chart in a lot of ways. We default basically to our awareness of self and a Cancerian type of expression. Okay. And yeah, so it's always good to have a general idea of the zodiac signs, because as we live our life, we will define repeatable circumstances that happen within certain areas of our life. The areas, again, represented by the houses, the astrological houses, and they will create repeatable patterns that were established early in life that will continue to play out later in life, unless we consciously identify these habitual patterns, or a lot of them are unconscious compulsions that play out later in life, and we have to be willing to choose to respond to circumstances that come into our life differently, right? And that's when we identify these habits that no longer serve us. There are habits we want to keep. Like, for instance, we want to keep the habit of knowing how to drive a car. We can unconsciously get in a car and drive, and sometimes our mind wanders, but we're still driving straight and know where to go. But there are some habits that we want to get rid of that maybe are linked to early life and childhood that could have and we can identify them by the way we react to things with the zodiac sign. For example, the Cancer ascendant, or after Cancer, there's Leo. Okay, Leo types of expressions. So the zodiac signs, they actually define repeatable circumstances that will happen in areas of our life. Okay. So and all of this, these repeatable patterns are subconscious and they'll play out consciously. But the houses will give us a general idea where they come from, right? With the quadrant system, I like to use the quadrant system because that also is an overview of how we can gauge our evolution of consciousness and the growth of our awareness of self within this lifetime. The first quadrant, personal development. Second quadrant, family development. Third quadrant, social development. And fourth quadrant, career development. And the quadrant system is very helpful when analyzing a chart. Here's an overview of the houses and the areas of life that we experience and develop and will create circumstances that teach us on how to respond and react to ourselves and others. Okay. Now, let's go to the next slide. No, let's go back. So while I'm here, there's no planets. So let's talk about the house sizes real quick again. As you can see, there is a small first house. Okay. There is a, which is less than 30 degrees. That's important to know. If a house is less than 30 degrees in size, it means it's a pre-birth need. And this lifetime, there is a type of area of focus for your development and understanding that need to concentrate on for what here's just a few characteristics: self-image, self-confidence. All right. Second house is also small. So this is where the emotional body is developed. Self-value, self-love, self-sustainment. This is important also to develop within this lifetime that may be a little difficult. Now, large houses, such as, I'm just going to use the sixth house as an example. This house is already well developed. So that means in other lifetimes, you were very capable in these areas. Yeah, in this lifetime, you're very capable in these areas because of previous lifetimes, you spent a lot of time and energy in integrating and developing these qualities into your subconsciousness. All right. How it happened, what role you played, and the name and person that you were doesn't really matter when we were analyzing this lifetime, but we can know that your sixth house qualities, your fifth house qualities, your fourth house qualities, all of those are well developed within your subconsciousness. Okay. But in this lifetime, we want to focus on the first, second, and third house to a degree. And also your seventh, eighth, and ninth house, which are the same size, because the axis will, you can see how, is that correct? Let me erase that. That doesn't look right. Yeah, so your first house and your seventh house. I was trying to draw a straight line, and then I realized that I can't do it that way. So they will meet right here in the center. Okay, like a seesaw. Right? Looks like a seesaw. And they will work on balancing each other out. They're the same size and degree. This is probably about 20 degrees. 20 degrees. That's important to know because less than 30 degrees means a small house. So your first house characteristics and qualities and attributions will need to work on expanding the house size, which means we'll have to take away from some of these other areas of life and move the energy into the first and seventh house in order to expand these houses, which will decrease the house sizes in fifth, fourth, fifth, or sixth. Okay. Hopefully that gives you an idea. It's like a give and take. Okay. It's a give and take. That's the idea from an overview coming into this lifetime when it comes to house sizes. But more importantly, we get clues from previous lifetimes on what we need to work on. All right. Here's your chart with, I wanted to at least give your subconscious a snapshot of your 10 major planetary archetypes, the four major asteroids, the North and South node, the part of fortune, the Chiron. Okay. But we're not going to talk about all these other aspects because it can be a little overwhelming. Your Black Moon Lilith, these are major players, and they can also help us go deeper within to identify aspects about ourselves. Because the whole goal is to know what we're focusing on, which could be non-reception qualities. For example, we're really not receptive to all of life and who we really are on a deeper level when we focus on denial, lack, or these non-receptive qualities. When we focus on what we are not, then we're actually limiting ourselves and our consciousness of growth. But we're going to only talk about this chart today. All right. Now, we'll begin with the first quadrant. Okay. This is your personal development quadrant. It's a small quadrant. Notice how the second quad no, notice the chart is unbalanced. Okay. Your chart is not 90 degrees in each quadrant. That's fine because I don't know, none of us really incarnate with a balanced chart unless we're an avatar such as Yeshua or Horus of Egypt, who came in with imprints, but and a divine will already. Anyway, getting a little sidetracked. With your chart, hang on, this is not your chart. Uh-oh, this is somebody else's chart. I need to actually correct this. Just bear with me. I can do this real quick. All right. Man, I can't believe I did that. I was too busy trying to get my coffee and other things. This is your chart. All right. So this one's correct. This one is not correct. I'm going to delete that old chart. Need to find. You. There we go. I got it. Thank you for your patience. All right. Normally, this is how I get your charts ready before I do a reading. That's close enough. Now, Cancer's correct. Virgo's correct. That's correct. That's okay. Everything else is correct. Now we're good. Now we can keep going. All right. Where was I? Yeah. So let's talk about the quadrants, how you have a small first quadrant. So your personal development in this lifetime is going to be important. In fact, it's going to be essential. If anything, it's your destiny in a sense, because you have a lot of support over here with these planets. Now, planet positions, when we agree to, we basically agree to specific pre-incarnation intentions to we can call it the Lords of Karma or Spirit Team of Earth or the Planetary Logos, whatever name we use, okay, this higher intelligence. But we did this so that we could connect with spirit and our own unique vibration, which we can see with your planets and where they're located in your chart to get a physical body. All right, we gave the Lords of Karma certain ideas of what we wanted to work on. We created a plan, we created a pattern to achieve in this life and finish it before physical death. Sort of like a guidance counselor at school. Like this is what I intend on doing the next 4 years in college. This is my plan. And they recommend the courses and the path we should take. And they ensure, like, this is what you want to do. I'm here to help. But after we get our physical body, then it's game on. We start first day of school is age zero when we're born on Earth. Now, the planets can represent multiple energies of which we are composed. Does that make sense? They are energy expressions, they're forces, and They should represent certain qualities that we express in our life. Okay. Think about your sun. You have a sun in Scorpio. Think about the sun in our solar system and what it represents. What we intend to apply in our life, so the implication of the sun in Scorpio reveals where we intend to shine light, to develop, to express in that area, to gain new light, to new understanding in this lifetime that maybe was a struggle in previous lifetimes, or just we haven't experienced it yet. But the sun in our solar system is what provides energy for all of life. And on an individual basis, we can look at that in our chart. Your sun is saying you want to provide life in this area to experience. Let's talk about your ascendant. Okay. We kind of talked about it before. It's pre-incarnation set of qualities that you aim to develop and perfect and radiate to your environment in order to support the evolution of humanity. Okay. So we're here also to give to the collective, to serve the collective. But with the here's a clue with your Cancer ascendant. And for me also, because I'm a Cancer ascendant. We had prior Gemini types of focus, okay? It may not have been the ascendant. Gemini may not have been the ascendant. It could have been our sun sign. Not sure. But know that the Gemini was a major development of our intellect. Now, with Cancer, you come into this life and deepen the sensitivities through development of emotions. I hope you can see this because I moved the screen over. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. Hang on. Here's a Zoom trick that I learned. Stop the share. If you couldn't see the chart prior to what I was saying, you should be able to see it now since I updated the changes, right? I don't want to stop the recording because we've gotten so far. I'm almost certain you can see the correct image now. All right. So this is your chart. And I was talking about your ascendant. There. Okay, so we have this need. Cancer ascendants have this need for emotional gratifications and the secure sense of that this gratification will continue. We desire for family, and we attempt to balance rationally with the feeling nature. Cancer ascendants make great home providers. They really do. All right. Now, and before we start talking about the first quadrant, know also that with the midheaven up here at the top, this is the experimental way that we do things better. So it's going to be Piscean. This energy is mostly behind many of the choices that we make and intend to make in this lifetime. Very Piscean type of way of deciding on how to do things. All right. The midheaven also represents how we want to present ourselves to the world. This chart is letting us know that it'll be a very Piscean type of way to express themselves, which is interesting because you have a Cancer ascendant. And this chart is so unbalanced to a degree that it just it's not an Aries. You got water and water. And normally what we would have is a Cancer Aries type of quadrant here. So definitely lots of feelings involved when it comes to making choices. And we'll talk about that down here also in your family development. Let's get into this first quadrant, personal development. You have Mars in Virgo, okay? First house is physical body development, second house, emotional body development, third house, mental body development. It's also the communication house, right? So Mars with Virgo, there's going to be a sense of high standards and type of perfectionist, strive for accuracy. That's what Mars and Virgo will exhibit throughout this individual. And some of the qualities will include prudence and intelligence. So now it's probably a broader perspective is very much needed. Virgos tend to slice things up, right? Slice it up down to the granular level, but across to the other sign to balance out the Virgo, we have Pisces, which is very nebulous and oneness and but Mars and Virgo will need that broader perspective, which Pisces will try to help balance. But the deepest need for Mars and Virgo is this sense of usefulness and being productive. Okay. This will actually drive your personal development to help balance out this quadrant, which is small in nature. Okay. There's previous lifetimes where personal development, there wasn't a lot of focus in this area. But also know that it can be kind of deceiving because look at all these planets in your family development. Okay. It's a well-developed quadrant. Family development has been already experienced and established in a previous lifetime. So this means we need to analyze why there's so many planets over here in the family development. When there's a deep need for personal development and only one planet. And know that also with Mars in the third house, there could be a sense to argue and debate and try to convince others about your point of view because this can backfire, right? This can backfire. We don't want to burn bridges or. Because all we're doing is really talking about ourselves or arguing with ourselves when we're projecting on the others. They're going to bring their perspectives. And Virgo, Mars in Virgo in the third house needs to learn to have a broader perspective. Okay. And challenging mental work is important for Mars in Virgo. All right. Well, let's. I think we should talk about family development. But first, I want to take notice of. Okay, let me. This is important to see. So we have. Here's your Libra fourth house, right? Oh, that didn't look good. Let me start over. Here's the Libra Aries balance. Okay. Aries balances Libra. Libra balances Aries. Think of a seesaw. You have a lot of planets, a lot of energy, a lot of force down here in your subconscious realm. In fact, your whole chart, very inner world. Your inner world is just lit up, full of energy. But with Aries and Libra balance, What we have here is we have freedom way up here, liberty, liberation. Aries individuals, they run first and exclude everybody. But now we have Libra down here, which is all about the law and balance. Okay. So in this lifetime, to achieve balance between complete freedom of expression as an individual and being limited in self-expression by society and family is going to be important. All right. In other lifetimes, you may have had total absence of relationships, just alienated. Right. But in this lifetime, we can see how all the planets within your Libra fourth house, fourth and fifth house, that there's going to be there has to be a balance between how it was before and what it is to become. Right? With your moon in Libra at 0 degrees. 0 degrees. That means definitely previous life. Well, there's a huge hint that in previous lifetimes that relationships just took a back seat to your own interests. And you probably felt very alone. Even with groups of people, you were not that other lifetime, you weren't really close to anyone. Could have felt insecure in relationships or reluctant to start new relationships. All right. There's a lot of energy down here that is just screaming out that relationships are important for your personal development. Okay. And you could do it through family development. That's what I see with that large family development quadrant. So know that with your moon in Libra, there's going to be a desire for harmonious relationships and groups. Okay. Now, inwardly, you could have some residual energy from previous lives that have you split with indecisiveness over yourself and others. Like you'll want to connect. In this lifetime, you want to connect. You want to build these relationships, but then within yourself, you're like, oh, I'm not sure. And then maybe there's some judgment towards the other individual. But know that we're really just looking in a mirror. So that other those other individuals that you may feel reluctant to, and even creating any type of relationship, small or long term, short or long term. Watch out for judgments, because those actually, I encourage judgments because they're actually revealing something within us that we need to identify and push through and then integrate within ourselves. Like, aha, okay, I know what this is. And this will help balance out your chart and your energies. It will also it will build new stronger foundations within yourself when it comes to relationships. But a moon in the fourth house, normally that's an indicator also that there's strong attachments to your past in this lifetime and others. Okay. Strong mother bond. Fourth house is as a mother house. But there's also a strong desire for a partner who will provide that mother protection aspect. Okay. You may unconsciously seek out a partner who provides that safety and protection. All right. All right. Well, let's see. Anything else about the moon? I think that's enough. Need to move on. I lose track of time. So I really enjoy reading charts. And let's see, Saturn in Libra. Now, the great thing about Saturn in Libra is it's exalted. That means it's amplified. Saturn enjoys being in Libra. Think of the scales that Lady Justice holds in a courtroom. Okay. Now, Saturn in Libra will imply also that in other lifetimes there was a particular attitude or rebellious towards social justice in other lifetimes. Now, in this lifetime, Saturn now compels yourself, these compulsions will be concerned towards principles of social justice. Or there's a great potential to organize group endeavors, which can lead to attainment of social honor or wealth, right? So the Aries split may cause difficulty with indecisiveness, but no, Saturn is in Libra to help you realize the great potential that is there, right? So there might be some reluctance to form relationships, but once you commit with Saturn in Libra, it's very genuine and possibly for life, right? So Saturn in Libra ensures that you take your relationship seriously, and this could be at work or marriage and friendships. You feel that relationships require more of you than what they are worth sometimes. So generate caution, and you'll generate caution or have these thoughts of entrapment. That's the Aries. That's the Aries thinking about freedom, right? Freedom from previous lifetimes. So catch those thoughts and you can see them for what they are, but then the judgments towards others, just slow down and think about the judgments and contemplate on them and know that most likely it's that those previous lifetime energies that are residual. And all those can be released, right? Released and integrated, and then your relationships, because our inner world must match our outer world. That's law. And with you being Libra, with five planets in Libra, if anything you take away from this recording, know that our inner world must match our outer world. Our outer world will come to us and match our inner world. Okay, and Saturn in the fourth house, you may also feel deprived sometimes, and that could be because you possibly had strict parents in this lifetime or had some emotional separation as a child. I mean, that has to be felt in order for us to create some contrast for when we grow older in our life and we can reflect and see it for what it is. So it's nothing more than duality, and it will help build a solid foundation in your relationships. Okay. Saturn in your inner life will help you accomplish this. So Saturn's very important in your chart. It's at the bottom of your subconsciousness, right here. It's almost directly 90 degrees. Well, actually, it's right here. But oh, that's actually almost 90 degrees. So that's really cool. Saturn is a major player in your life. It isn't all of our lives, but especially yours, now that we have a few clues about your previous lives. Let's talk about your Mercury. Now, Mercury in Libra is also going to help you with your personal development and social development, which are small quadrants. Through your family, Okay. Through family development, you'll have the ability to see both sides, which is probably very much needed with that Aries past lifetimes energies that are trying to come through. Okay. Aries are normally one-sided. But with Mercury in Libra in this lifetime, you probably make like an excellent consultant or public relations officer, that type of energy, because you aim to bring in harmony. Libra loves to find harmony in relationships. So you're very introspective. Maybe even keep a journal or monitor your dreams, write down your dreams when you wake up. Because your introspective, your inner world is very lit up. In fact, we'll talk about your Scorpio placements in a minute, because your inner world may not even be able to be put into words. Okay. That's why it's important to heart center ourselves when it comes to connecting with others. Right. But your Mercury, your mental capacity is very sharp. All right. Let's talk about, let's keep on moving. Right. Now we're talking about your Jupiter. Your Jupiter. It's in Libra, but it's also in your fifth house. Okay, it's just barely in your fifth house. Now you have this great ability with Jupiter to cooperate with others. It's almost like you know what type of behavior to exhibit when you go into social situations or family environments. Okay, Jupiter will bring in that strong sense of fairness. This will help you harmonize relationships. Jupiter also has the Jupiter in fifth house and Libra also has this willingness to listen to other viewpoints. So all these little character, all these attributions will help balance out your life in a fun and loving and playful way, because fifth house is self-expression, right? It's home of Leo. Leo is big and bright, and whatever you love, you go all out for it. And Jupiter is there to make sure that happens. All right, Pluto and Libra, very important. Pluto is source of power in this lifetime. Period. Source of power. Okay. It's all about transformations. It's about regeneration. All right. And so with Pluto in Libra, there it is again. You have a deep interest in relationships to see how people are relating and communicating in a harmonious way. You seek strongly, because Pluto is intense, strongly harmony and peaceful relationships. But just watch out, because you may overlook real differences. Just so focus on harmonizing this relationship or that relationship that the differences are so extreme that harmony really shouldn't. The energy shouldn't be wasted in trying to get a relationship to harmonize when it's not meant to be. Okay. So the focus of harmony can overshadow a lot of the intent. But this is going to be strong in your expressions and with your beliefs, your belief system. It's just too strong of a creative force in the fifth house. But you will pour love and passion and maybe be a little obsessed with whatever you are creatively involved. Okay. There's a strong desire for personal recognition. However, you want in a Piscean way, because that's your midheaven, how you want to be presented to the world. But with it being in family development, I would think that Pluto is there and will compulsively, subconsciously reveal to you this strong desire for personal recognition within the family. All right. It could be mother, father, it could be your own personal family. But just watch out for trying to have your children pursue your dreams. Because Pluto's drive is strong about accomplishing goals, and the transformation process could flow through your children or others, but especially our children. Okay. All right. Now, you have this video. I normally don't discuss what's called intercepts for these type of videos, but I'm going to because it's important. You can see what's called a Scorpio intercept. See the house size? All right. This chart has a large fifth house. It's well developed from previous lifetimes. But in this lifetime, this chart's about 40 degrees. A zodiac sign is only 30 degrees. So with this intercept, there's not a connection here for Taurus to balance out Scorpio, and Scorpio to balance out Taurus. In a sense, there is a Libra, the Libra expressions overshadow the Scorpio expressions. So, Libra, this means that within this life, the Libra expressions don't want to make a scene, right? But Scorpio has the ability to confront and actually be very direct. But in this life, it's going to be difficult for Scorpio to have that ability to confront when it comes to expressing itself in a Scorpio way. So that Scorpio energies will and emotions will be suppressed. All right. Scorpio normally helps us by feeling deeply. Well, it always does. And then we, based off who we are and how our energies are aligned, we will express these feelings. Okay. But this is intercepted. So, in a sense, we have to go through Libra in order to enter Scorpio. All right. Well, so how do we prevent the pressures of your Scorpio intercept from suppressing and building over time and erupting eventually? Well, Taurus is also intercepted. We can watch out for, let me put it this way. We can use Venus and your Sagittarius to help. Why? Because Venus is ruled by Libra. All right. It's very schematic, but you have Mars and Virgo. So I know you're paying attention and you'll probably watch this a few times, but With your Venus and Sagittarius, which we'll talk about when, once we get there. Right now, we're just right here on your sun. Your Scorpio will actually get some access when you focus on your Venus. Okay. And normally, when I go even deeper in an astrology analysis, I would have mentioned that your fourth house, I mean, excuse me, your fifth house ruler is Venus. And so when it comes to fifth house family development and how you express your how express yourself with the fifth house, we focus on Venus, and we can use tarot and Kabbalah, but we're not doing that right now. But with this intercept, you also can use your what's called a duplicated sign. Okay. Cancer rules your first house, and see this little sliver, and your second house. Duplicated sign. And it's the same on the other side of the chart, too. Okay. Duplicated sign. So you have your Cancer that is, you have your Cancer that is doing double the work, and you have your Capricorn doing double the work because of the intercepted Scorpio and Taurus. Now, not only can you just reference your Venus qualities and through Sagittarius or Libra, but you can also know that your first and second house, you'll focus towards a sense of security and to feel at home, right? When you have those types of feelings or that type of perspective and mindset, then these Scorpio energies that appear somewhat trapped or have a harder time getting out because the balance is broke between Taurus and Scorpio are intercepted, then you'll be able to actually express yourself in a Scorpionic way. And it's important because you're a fifth house Scorpio. Okay. Just think about these symbols that I'm giving you, all right? Even if the explanation isn't very clear, you actually know this about your chart now when it comes to your consciousness, which is evolving. And a lot of times, wait, before I erase this. So with the seventh and eighth house, know that when you organize and build your foundations, your home, your relationships, you'll actually feel more efficient. Okay. And that will help out with this intercept of the 11th house and the fifth house. But so with and also know that Pluto can help. Okay. Pluto is in Libra. See it? Pluto is the ruling planet of Scorpio, the higher octave of Mars. So Pluto can help you access what we'll talk about now is your sun in Scorpio, which is where you want to shine light in this lifetime. Okay. Emotions, this is a very, 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 very emotional chart because of your ascendant, your midheaven, and this intercept. Water signs, water means emotion, right? That's part of your temperament. Very, very sensitive. And you may be very sensitive to how others, your cons there might be some insecurities of how others perceive you because Sun in Scorpio is emotionally complex. And It's not easy to get to know you initially, right? From the beginning, when you meet new people, all right, you can be very sensitive, but it doesn't show all the time. Again, you're kind of keeping it within, right? Suppressed. So you might have difficulty articulating how you feel, or because your emotions go so deep, much deeper than words, way deeper than words can express. It's important for you to find those relationships where you have that trust and that strong commitment. Oh, excuse me, took a drink of water. That strong commitment towards others, that lifelong desire towards having that true friendship, that lover, because this Scorpio outlet is going to be much needed. Okay. With the and also with that Scorpio in the fifth house, you can be very dramatic, creative type of expression. You have a great pleasure in developing your talents and strong sense of pride. All of that will try to work through your Libra to be expressed. Okay. Now know that also with this, especially with this intercept in Taurus, there will be a balancing of trying to balance material values of Taurus with the spiritual values of Scorpio. All right. They may find themselves caught in positions where they must sacrifice one for the other, or pulled in both directions. Could also have money problems, right? May seem endless at times, but you may have this dream of having a lot of money, or growing rich, or being well provided with money, and a longing, not sure how that will play out. So you may pursue a career and have great dedications, dedicating yourself to that career, but barely make ends meet. Although you, again, with all these planets, with your healthy relationships, you may be just fine with money. But through symbol, with this Taurus that's intercepted, even though it's a well-developed house, like your subconsciousness has made lots of money in previous lifetimes and has had great material things, in this lifetime, it's intercepted. Okay. There might also be a natural response for you with your sun in Scorpio that you will eventually come to reward yourself and your loved ones. But in earlier in the life, you may have made just barely ends meet and felt that was fine. That's just how you made money. So watch out for like the deep discontentment within you, the uncomfortable feelings of those past experiences. All right. And that's just spiritual discontentment. That's all it is. Scorpio will probably have will implement that feeling sometimes. That feeling of previously feeling like you were living day to day without worry, because that Taurus on the other side, previous lifetimes, you were probably very wealthy, or at least had a very wealthy family that you were born into. So just develop patience and know that sometimes you might create unreasonable goals But that's okay because that's who you are. For example, Scorpios can achieve whatever they desire. They really can. That deep fire from within and that willingness to work hard and to persevere and then have that instinctive knowledge, they could easily want to walk on the moon. And they know it's not unreasonable because they truly believe it. Now, the key is to know about Scorpios is they know they will not be able to walk on the moon tomorrow. You get what I'm saying? All right. So people on the outside may perceive it as crazy, but if they want to walk on the moon, Scorpios will make it happen. And they know that they have the patience and perseverance to push through, and they know that they won't walk on the moon tomorrow. All right, moving on. Uranus in Scorpio. So it's also exalted. This can be an extremist type of energy, emotional intensity. And great thing about Scorpio in your family quadrant in your fifth house is that in previous lifetimes, there may have been chaos within the family development. And in this lifetime, you're tearing down those old beliefs and old structures to build new ones. Okay. New relationships, which is the primary focus and theme of this lifetime. So just watch out for being very impulsive. Going to be very highly creative. You may even have some unstable partners in the beginning, but with Uranus, that Uranus will actually help you move through partners to find that one that will be with you for the rest of your life. Okay. So there is that element of unpredictability, that surprise energy. Let's talk about Venus and Sagittarius. So you'll see companionship, friendships. It'll be very playful. Venus is all about love. You'll travel with love. You want to travel with love. You want to travel with your love. You have that honeymoon energy. You desire a partner who encourages you with your own aspirations, right? If your partner's not being supportive, your Scorpio, your Uranus and Scorpio, your Sun and Scorpio, it'll kick them out. But eventually you will find that partner who encourages you with your own destiny and desires. Because Venus in the sixth house also enjoys serving those that they care about and shows affection. And all of that will play out with your relationships. You may even have a job that involves beauty and pleasures and making others happy, right? But that's good. Let's go on to Neptune and Sagittarius. So you have this expansive outlook. You're very broad-minded. Neptune's going to help you with that. In fact, you may have traditional views and certain religions of interest that have limitations, probably not interest you. You'll be more attracted to the metaphysical or higher spiritual planes of existence. Okay. You'll have psychic abilities that'll eventually unfold within you. But more importantly, know that Neptune in the sixth house, I also have Neptune in the sixth house, Sagittarius, just like you. We have Cancer ascendant together. We'll have sensitive bodies and allergies. Like my skin, very allergic to poison ivy. That's just symbol for that sensitivity that we carry in this lifetime. But know also that emotional stress and confusion can affect us physically with Neptune in the sixth house. Okay? It can affect us more quickly than others. So we have to be aware of that. Especially your emotional depth by symbol is much deeper than mine because I'm Aquarian and and relationships much more potent in your chart than mine. It's going to be important for your emotional intelligence to be of par about yourself so that you can be physically healthy. All right. Now, almost finished. I want to mention real quick with the tarot because I kind of skipped over that. I'm going to put it simply because the video's getting long. Whenever you feel like your personal development is a struggle, okay, you can know that key seven, Cancer is assigned to key seven, okay? The ruling planet of Cancer is the moon. Whenever you're struggling with personal development, let your subconscious know that you're aware that the moon is your ruling planet, and then you can focus on the moon and the Libra qualities in your fourth house to help get you back on track when it comes to personal development. Okay. Just think about it, contemplate on it. In fact, I recommend using these tarot keys, which are universal symbols that our subconscious already knows. Okay. We're consciously letting our subconscious know, hey, I am meditating and contemplating on key seven. And then our subconscious will unfold knowings and the spiritual unfoldment, which is very desirable for your sun in Scorpio. Okay. The spiritual values, that's what I was trying to say. The spiritual values within you are important. Okay. And your subconscious will spiritually unfold. This will help with your personal development. Now, with your family development, we have the Hermit key nine because Virgo is the ruler of your family development. Okay, because the cusp identifies the ruler. Key nine, Virgo, the ruling planet assigned to Virgo is Mercury. So once again, when it comes to just like personal development, focus on your moon. When it comes to family development, on days, weeks, months, or even a year, it seems like family development is a struggle. Focus on your Mercury in Libra. All right, that will help. Focus on key nine, the Hermit. I have a lot of information about tarot on my website. I even have an app that can be helpful. Now, with Capricorn, your descendant, also the Capricorn is the ruler of your social development quadrant. Capricorn is assigned to key 15, the devil, and the ruling planet for Capricorn is Saturn. Libra, once again. Okay. Your social development seems to be off, or you're struggling a little bit, you feel like you're not on your path, then meditate, contemplate, focus on Saturn and Libra. Focus on the devil, key 15. Okay. Now, finally, your career development. I mean, this lifetime, your career development, look how big the houses are. There's no planets in career development. So this tells me through symbol that your soul is not so much focused on developing a career. Doesn't mean that you will not have a career. Doesn't mean that you will not strive to create a career, because you could easily do it because the houses are so big. You just channel your subconsciousness. You'll bring in the energies from previous lifetimes that have already been successful at developing a career. But know that the soul's intent is easily recognizable by creating relationships and balancing and harmonizing these energies. When it comes to career development, you'll develop all kinds of relationships, right? Through a career. So it's not like you won't have a job. You'll still be working these energies. But let's just say you're having difficulty with the career development aspect of your soul's journey in this lifetime. Pisces is the ruler of your career development quadrant. Pisces is assigned to key 18, the moon, and also Neptune is the ruling planet for Pisces. The higher octave of we take the higher octave of the ruling planet, okay? And so know that the higher octave of Jupiter would be Neptune, okay? Traditionally, higher octave of Jupiter was the sun, but through my own meditations and contemplations, I feel like that, and even through other spiritual teachers, we sort of have this Pisces can be very nebulous, and illusions are very common when it comes to Piscean energy. So, but of the highest spiritual virtues that we can achieve while on Earth will come from the Neptune energies. Okay. All right. So you can reference Neptune in your family quadrant, and that will help with your career development. All right, I'm going to close by giving you a snapshot of what I call vibrational astrology. And all I do is I take your natal chart, which is your first vibration that you carry into this lifetime. And what we do is we multiply all the angles between the planets, and then by that vibration, which creates orbs that are magnified, all 360 degrees have a type of a categorization can be categorized. Okay. So your strongest vibe is the 197th vibration, and it's called the dynamic individual devotion. There's some of the characteristics you can read over. And this kind of makes sense with your chart with all the Libra energies that you have. In fact, look, this is your strongest vibration. Look at all the energies in the seventh house, which is home of Libra, right? Libra is at home in the seventh house. And even though it's Capricorn, you have a strong orb, which is, this is only a few descriptions that I put out here for you, which are working for you and with you and in you. Look at all the sextiles and trines that you have. This is a gift that you have within you to help build strong relationships. I mean, I have no doubt that you're gonna be very successful in balancing out that Aries Libra axis that we discussed earlier in the recording, and you're going to have some great relationships in this lifetime. Okay. And know that when you do fulfill your soul's mission, or even as there really is no end or attainment, as you're in line and walking your soul's journey and the path you're destined to walk in this lifetime, your tarot key is the Six of Wands, which is the Lord of Material Success. So to recognize your balance, success through efforts, and encourages to it's not to rec to recognize your balances and success through efforts, and it encourages you to pursue your goals with confidence while seeking harmony. Okay, Libra, lots of Libra. All right, that was a long video. Let me stop the share. And hopefully it was helpful. That was a fun chart. And if the intercepts and duplicated signs kind of confuse you, don't worry about it. I just wanted to throw it out there. Take what works for you, what resonates with you. Always strive for the highest good of yourself, because we really are masters here on earth. I do this because I have great passion in helping others self-empower themselves. Okay. I've used astrology, Kabbalah, human design, tarot, all these spiritual modalities to help self-empower myself. And all I want to do is share what worked for me. And I'm also here to build relationships. So this is just another outlet for my energy to express itself. And I do that through a lot of spiritual modalities. But I enjoyed it. And in closing, know that the more we know ourselves, the more we can accept ourselves and who we are with the vibration we carry into this lifetime. But even more broader perspective, right? Your Mars and Virgo, broader perspectives. We are divine sparks. We are extensions of Source. We are images of Source. And then once we accept ourselves, which is our sovereignty, we can become the creator. Okay, so go forth and be the creator. Thank you.